We see that in biblical marriage that it is the will of God, or that marriage as ordained by God is between one man and one woman. There are no biblical grounds whatsoever in Scripture for two men marrying each other or two women marrying each other. And to be quite honest with you, that's not a marriage at all.
That's a good point.
It's a perversion of marriage.
Yes.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Speak Truth Podcast. I've got my good buddy Ashton right here with me today, and we're going to be dealing with some, I usually come in here off the cuff, but, what do you have for me today?
So we're going to piggyback off of a podcast you had talking about parenting and parenting children and things of that nature. And so the topic today is how to talk to your children about homosexuality and transgenderism. And because that is something they encounter
So the question is not what does the Bible teach about homosexuality and transgenderism, but how do you teach your children about which is what the Bible...
What the Bible speaks about those things to your children, how to navigate those in your parenting.
Right.
As the spiritual leader of your home and things of that nature.
Yeah. So, I have four children.
Yeah.
And I've had this conversation with them on several occasions.
Yeah.
And so I'll just kind of walk you through the approach
absolutely.
That I took with
And I've got a few questions for follow-up.
Well, it seems like every podcast that we do, it always starts off in Genesis.
Yeah.
Which is, Genesis, the creation account, the fall, all those are so important to, all of Scripture.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take us there again. If we go back to Genesis, where God, where we see the God creating the institution of marriage, and we clearly see there that God created them man and woman. He created Adam and Eve. And he created one according to Adam's likeness. In other words, one of his opposite, but yet is a helper to him.
Yeah,
and so
that's good.
We see that in biblical marriage, that it is the will of God, or that marriage as ordained by God is between one man and one woman. There are no biblical grounds whatsoever in Scripture for two men marrying each other or two women marrying each other. And to be quite honest with you, that's not a marriage at all.
That's a good point.
It's a perversion
yes.
of marriage.
Yes.
Now, so we clearly see this, God creating Adam and Eve. But the problem happened in Genesis 3.
Right.
In Genesis 3, we see something very interesting. The Bible says that the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Now notice what he says to her. Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Well, God did tell her not to eat of the fruit of the tree, but, she kind of adds to by saying God said, don't touch it or so forth. But here's my point. Here is Eve being tempted by Satan to doubt that God has her best interest at heart. God created Adam and Eve, and God brought them together in holy union, instituting marriage. And those who doubt that, those who doubt that marriage is between a man and a woman, are doubting that because they have fallen into the same trap that Eve fell into, which was to doubt that God's way is the best way.
Right.
God's way for Eve was to not eat of the fruit of the tree.
Yeah.
That was God's way. It was for her good. It was what was best. That was God's way. Satan caused her to doubt that God's way was best.
Right.
And thus, she gave in to her own desire.
Right.
So we also, and so I would say the same thing with same-sex, with homosexual couples and lesbianism. These are individuals who perhaps deep down inside they believe that they were born the way they are, but the reality is they've believed a lie. Mm-hmm. They've been tempted. They've doubted that God's way is best, which is marriage between a man or a woman or singleness. They've doubted that God's way is best, and so they've decided that, you know what, God's way isn't what's best for me, so I'm going to choose my own way.
Right.
And that's the very same thing that Adam and Eve did in the garden. And not only that, when you get to the, well, let me just show you something. What does the Bible say about homosexuality?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you know, the Bible says a lot. There's tons of passages in the Old Testament. You get over here to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, God talks about giving people up to their own lustful appetites. And then he describes what he means by that. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And then he goes on to say down here that God gave them up to the lust of their impulses, the impurity to dishonor their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, just like I said,
mm-hmm.
and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for that which is contrary to nature.
Mm.
He's talking about lesbianism. And men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passions for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And what is the due penalty for their error? Well, according to verse 18, the wrath of God.
Yeah.
So we clearly see that homosexuality, lesbianism, is actually an act of God's judgment.
Mm.
He gives them over to what their sinful desires are because they've resisted the will of God. And because they've resisted the will of God, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So God gives them over as an act of judgment to their sinful inclinations. And in their minds, you know, they feel justified in their actions, but they fail to realize that they are under the wrath of God. And
yeah.
And again, you come over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it is. 1 Corinthians 6, and he says this, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. So notice that the Lord makes a distinction there between sexual sin and all other sin.
Yeah.
He makes that distinction.
Yeah.
He says every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And so once again, we see God condemning. If you back up in verse 9 of chapter 6, he says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God.
Yep.
And such were some of you, he said.
Yeah.
But you were washed. Mm. You were sanctified. You were justified. So if you're If you're still a homosexual,
yeah,
or a lesbian, then you're not washed.
Right.
You're not sanctified.
Yeah.
You're not justified.
Yep.
Those who are washed and sanctified and justified are those who have repented of the sins of homosexuality and lesbianism and all the other sins that are listed here as,
yeah,
well.
Yep.
Now, so we see in Genesis, and that's what I would do with my kids. I take them to Genesis. I would say, look, here, God created Adam and Eve. And then I would say, then I would take them to the New Testament, and I would show them passages like Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 6, where homosexuality, along with a list of other sins, is condemned by God. And then I would say, because people will say, well, God created me like this. And so, yep, then I would take them to James.
That was one of my follow-up questions, so glad you're going there.
Yeah, let me go to James. And oh, goodness. If you find it before I do, you know where I'm looking, right? Each person, okay, yeah, here it is. So James chapter 1,
yep,
verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Listen, God says homosexuality and lesbianism is evil.
Yep.
He did not create you that way.
Yeah.
You may think he did. Yeah,
yeah,
you may think he did deep down inside, but it goes all the way back to the garden when Satan tempted Eve to doubt. He's tempting them to doubt.
Right.
So he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire.
Yeah, that's key right there.
Then desire, when it has conceived, give birth to sin, and sin, when it fully has grown, brings forth death.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfect, because those are clear in Scripture, right? God's design, homosexuality, transgenderism, is perversions of God's design, and God did not make you that way.
Yeah,
and would contradict his design.
Well, we've talked about homosexuality and lesbianism. You bring up transgenderism. All these are perversions against God's creation.
Yes.
God created, and scientists, we have science on our side.
Yeah.
Not just Bible and theology,
right,
we have science.
Right.
And science says that you are born either biologically male or female.
Yes.
And if you're born with male genitalia, you're not a they, a them.
Right.
You're a him.
Yep.
If you are created as a woman with female genitalia, you're not an it, a they.
Right.
A he.
Yep.
You are a her.
Right.
To say anything other than this, him or her, he or she, husband and wife,
right,
to say anything different is to blaspheme God. It is to undermine what God has created. It is to usurp the authority of God and undermine the word of God. God created them male and female.
Right.
And so transgenderism, first of all, I want to be careful because, I mean, just the whole idea of transgenderism is a failure to see yourself as God sees you, and to determine your identity from your Creator.
Okay.
And so if someone determines their identity from their Creator, mm-hmm, which is what we all should do, then there would be no transgenderism. The,
yeah,
problem is that we let others determine our identity.
Right.
We let culture determine our identity.
So true.
We allow sin to determine our,
yeah,
identity. We allow fleshly impulses to desire.
Yes.
I honestly think that there's some people out there who think they look better. I'm sure there's a man out there somewhere. I've been thinking about this. I'm going to say it on the air. I'm sure there's a man out there who probably doesn't think he's attractive. But when he dresses up like a woman, he feels,
yeah,
beautiful.
Right.
And so he prefers to dress up like a woman because it makes him feel more attractive. I'm going to think of how I want to word this. It's a perversion.
Right.
It is deception. Mm. Not only are you deceiving yourself, you're deceiving other people.
Right.
Learn to see yourself as God sees you. Embrace the identity that your Creator has given you. And do not believe the lies that the enemy whispers in your ear.
Yeah, that is really good.
God's way is right.
Yeah.
So.
It's good.
Yeah.
And this is not on my notes here, but.
Transgenderism of children is nothing more than blatant butcher.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And those that support that, mutilating children.
Yeah.
I mean, it is wicked.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to follow up with, this isn't on my notes here, but do you see that homosexuality and transgenderism are, like you were mentioning, those are sins that people make their identity? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know a person that walks around and is proud that they're an addict.
Right.
Who says, I'm an addict and this is how God made me. I'm an addict and I'm proud of who I am. I cheat on my wife and that's just who I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to be an adulterer and you should love me for being an adulterer. Like,
well, I don't even go around saying I'm heterosexual.
Yeah, true. I mean, yeah, right, right.
But there's people that go around saying I'm LGBTQT plus, elemental T, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, it's I'm a follower of Christ.
Yeah, right.
That's who I am. That's my identity.
Right.
I am a follower. I am a man created in God's image who has been saved by the gospel. And I am perfectly content with whom God made me.
Amen.
There's times I'm not, doesn't mean everything's easy, but the reality is that I know who God is. I know who God made me to be.
Yep.
And that is the sovereign will of God in his creation, and I accept that.
Yep. That's good stuff.
He's God, I'm not.
Yep.
Yep.
I got two more questions if we got time.
All right.
Got two more. Second one is this.
My phone's blowing up.
So you have people who would say, and I'm not talking about Christians, I'm just talking about just maybe probably unbelievers, who would say, you've heard things like this, well, what does it matter if two guys get, like, why do you care if two guys get married? Or, why do Christians care what people do, if they want to dress up as a girl, why do they care? What would your response be to those that make, that statement, almost like a, well, it doesn't affect me, so it doesn't affect you. Why do you care?
Two things. One is the glory of God.
Amen.
The Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
And so my first reason I care is because every human is created in the image of God, and that image has been marred by sin. And that image needs to be restored, and that can only be restored through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and thus bringing glory to God.
Yes.
I want to see every person living their lives in such a way as to bring glory to God and fulfilling the purpose for which God created
Amen.
Them. And you cannot glorify God if you are living a homosexual lifestyle or practicing any form of homosexuality or lesbianism or transgenderism.
Right.
Then the second reason is because not only the glory of God, but I care for their souls.
Yeah, absolutely.
The reality of eternal separation from God in hell is something that I think about every day.
Right.
I mean, I know that my own salvation is secure in Christ, but I constantly think about those who have no salvation in Christ. And when they die, they are going to spend eternity in hell separated from God because they have rejected the Messiah and refused to repent of sin. And so my first two reasons for speaking out is the glory of God, the salvation of sinners, and then the good of society. If we lose sight of the family, America is built upon the family, and we are allowing the family to be redefined by way of perversion. And so goes the family, so goes the nation.
Yeah.
If we begin to undermine what God has created and intended for family to be, then we will go the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is the way we're going now, and we will incur the judgment and wrath of God upon our nation.
Right.
So those three things, the glory of God, the salvation of souls, and the good of society, is the reason I want to speak to these things.
Yeah, it's something
to stop people from mutilating their flesh, mutilating
exactly,
children.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that's a great point you made, too. Of course, all three of them are excellent. But to say that, you know, that we don't sin in a vacuum, right? Like, sin has consequences.
Yeah.
And spiritually, you know, but also physically. And across, you know, we see those consequences. So my last point is, or my question is more of a application. So you have your child comes to you and says, I'm struggling with homosexual desire, or I feel like I'm trans, I feel like I'm the, what is your encouragement to them?
Yeah, it's very real. So if a child came to me, and I'm thankful that as of this day, none of my children have, they've had other sins that we've had to talk through and work through, and so have I. But I would say to a parent whose child comes to them and says, Mom or Dad, I'm struggling with same-sex attraction, I wouldn't do anything different than what I just did. I would take them to the Word of God.
Yeah.
I would start in Genesis. I would walk them through the Scripture. And then I would make sure that my children had a personal relationship, you know, with Jesus Christ. I would share the gospel. I would take them to Genesis and see God's original design.
Yeah.
And I would take them to the New Testament and show them what the Word of God says about those sins. And then I would explain to them, you know, the temptation between Satan and Eve, and that's probably, you know, more than likely that's what they're experiencing as well.
Absolutely.
And show them the truth.
Yeah.
The light expels the darkness.
That's a good word.
So you have to take them to the light.
Yeah.
Take them to the light of God's word. Teach them the word of God. Show them the word of God. Pray for them. And you say, Pastor, I've done that, and my child, I mean, I've done everything you just said, and my child is still, you know, committed to going in this direction. Well, there's nothing more powerful than prayer. People say, all I can do is pray. Well, that's the best thing you can
right.
do. You need to pray for your child, for the blinders to be removed, for their hearts, eyes to be opened, for their hearts to be softened, for them to see the truth and be delivered from this darkness.
Yeah.
I will tell people out there that there is hope. You know, we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God.
Yep.
And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I would just say to every person out there who has the sin of same-sex attraction or the sin of, or is committing the sin of homosexuality or whatever it may be, to know that there is a way out and there's a way to be forgiven.
Amen.
And that is found in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
So
it's good stuff. Well, that is all my questions.
Okay,
I think this
question.
Was helpful. And, you know, Pastor, I think this is going to really help a lot of families.
Yeah.
And those that are struggling maybe with this specific, you know, sin. And so I appreciate your time, and it's been good.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate appreciate you joining me on the podcast.
Yep.
I appreciate your questions. And you want to arm wrestle before we go?
Well, maybe not live with the camera because I won't lose.
Okay.
I won't lose.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
How about pinochle? Just one game of 1, 2, 3, go. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, pinochle. Just like that.
How's he so good at stuff like that?
He let me win. God bless you until we meet again. Serve the King.